Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor, Michael Yon, war correspondent, and you can see Michael's reporting at patreon.com, patreon.com. Your subscriptions are welcome, but you can also enjoy for free because Michael is always posting new information. I've been keen on the information that Michael's been gathering about where the migrants come from. They come through the Darien Gap at 60 miles of jungle, but Michael's been reporting they're from all over. They're from Africa, they're from the Caribbean, they're from South America, they're from Central Asia, the subcontinent. Michael's been reporting that Cubans, in particular, are coming through the Darien Gap, not looking exhausted whatsoever. You will recall Michael's reported on one young man who rescued two small children of a muscular young man whose feet were badly cut up, and he was exhausted. Michael also talked to three Venezuelan young men, big shoulders, all headed to America. And they were exhausted, telling people not to come through because they're marauders and violent attacks all the time. But these Cubans looked fresh. They looked like they'd come from the beach. They were smiling. They were beautiful people, beautiful young people with a child, I believe a 10 or 11-year-old child. So it was clearly a family structure. Michael, can we explain this? Why some people coming through have their feet cut up and are frightened, and you met Cubans who were not?
Yeah, that's a big question, because there are some that look like they're literally going to spring break. They look excited. They look happy. They've got jewelry. They've got nice clothes that are clean. John, are you there?
I'm here, yes. Please continue.
Okay, sorry. It sounded like I lost you. And so a big mystery there is how are they actually getting in here? Because one of these things is not like the other. Now, earlier this week, some people were picked up in the Caribbean. We know that some are bypassing going through the Darien Gap by jungle because they're doing it by boat. And for instance, there was a news report some days ago that some Indians were picked up that way. And so when I say Indians, you have to be specific, by the way, when you're down here. That means I'm what they would say here would be Hindus, actually. So Indians from India. And got picked up on a boat, but Cubans seem to be doing that quite a lot as well, bypassing on boats. And a lot of this will be contingent on what knowledge and networks that your people already have worked out and how much you can afford. Because it's very clear that some people are getting through. They've still got their phones. They've still got their passports. They're looking good. They've got jewelry, earrings, everything else going on, and they're smiling. And others are coming through, look like they just got beat up by Mike Tyson. So, something's not right. And many of the people that look exceptionally happy are Cubans. Now, keep in mind, I've traveled the world. I know some cultures are just happier than others. That's just the way it goes. But that doesn't explain why they look so much better and why their clothes are better. Not in all cases. Some Cubans clearly are walking through. But there's the ones that tend to come through and they're looking fresh and good are Cubans.
Michael, do the center front see everybody who comes through to Bio Chiquito? And do the center front have answers about bypassing? It seems like there's a puzzle here. There's more than one route to Bio Chiquito.
That's clear. Now, if you go to Bio Chiquito, they're definitely going to have you. I mean, that's like going into Atlanta Airport and passing through security. They're definitely going to have you, right? That's if you go to Bajo Chiquito. But there's other bypasses that you don't have to actually go to Bajo Chiquito. That's the place where most of them clearly come out of the jungle. But the more I'm down here, the more I talk with Centerfront and other people, the more it becomes clear that, that there's like a almost like a river delta as they come out of the not a physical river delta, but that sort of formation as people leave the Darien Gap. They start going on different routes to different areas. And based on the things that I'm hearing and learning, I'm suspecting that there are some underground railways here. In other words, if you're, you know, from some privileged group of people, once you come out of the jungle, you just go with a certain, you know, guide slash coyote and go some other way, and you're going to end up in a safe house, right? And you will, you could certainly get all the way to North America and bypass everything if you've got the right underground railway to get you north. Now, I haven't tracked all this down enough to say much about it other than there is a scent in the air that at least some people have underground railways.
Let's speak about the migrants and where they come from. I'm interested in one man whom you befriended this week. He's from Nepal. That reminds me, weeks ago when you first found the Darien Gap on the Columbia side, you said that you met a man from Nepal who was looking for his friends. He's come from Nepal, which is a subcontinent. Where is he now? Have you kept track of him?
We were just messaging yesterday, and he was in Costa Rica. So he'll be actually, when we get off, I'll message him again. And I met him here, about 300 meters from where I'm sitting right now. And I said namaste because he looked Nepalese to me. I spent a year in Nepal. So I said namaste, which is basically hello in Nepalese. And he's like, oh, namaste. And we started talking, and he told me where he was from. He's from Dang, a place called a district called Dang, Nepal. It's in the southern part in the Terai area, which I'd been down there. So we talked for a while, and we exchanged information. And then he had to go and then jumped on a bus and took off. And he was, you can see on the video that I sent to you and published, he's waving to me out the window.
Right.
That putting bus, his hand to his that, face to, that, you know, to call him.
That
so
bus,
we're in contact now.
Whose bus was that? What was that? Two large buses pulled out of the camp. Who was driving it? Who's running that?
Centerfront. I'm not saying Centerfront's driving it. I don't know who was actually hired to drive it, but it's clearly a Centerfront. I mean, the camp's right here, which is run by Centerfront and the government of Panama. And so the buses go right beside me here down this muddy road, and the army trucks will bring them in, drop them off after they come in from Bajo Chiquito and come on the canoes and all that. And then they'll finally end up here in one other place called Las Blancas. And then they'll be sent north to Costa Rica. And then once they get across into Costa Rica, it's a rinse and repeat up to Nicaragua. And then they go to Honduras, and then Guatemala, and then Mexico, and then Chicago.
So the Nepalese fellow whom you met, he was bused to Costa Rica. That's why he's there now. He never really touched Panama City. He just kept moving north.
Just kept right on going.
Again, it's a mystery here. You can't. Maybe you're the only person who knows this, Michael. I mean, you understand the Trump administration, now the Biden administration, have been flummoxed where the refugees come from, and they've identified the Northern Triangle. You're identifying a migrant route that goes to the Northern Triangle, but it didn't start there. It started in Nepal, and I mentioned, Michael, that's the subcontinent, Nepal, and his route to America. Have you discovered how long it took him to get to Panama? Has he been traveling for years, or did he leave this year? Did he reveal his plans?
I specifically asked that. Well, his plan is to go to California. But I specifically asked that because a lot of the Nepalese, and I'm starting to categorize them as I interview more and more of them, I see they're falling into categories. Some of them I call ballistic shots. In other words, they shoot straight from where their origin is. In his case, Dang District in southern Nepal in the Terai area. He's doing a ballistic shot straight to California. In other words, he's going to California one shot fast as he can get there. Others are doing it in a staged event. For instance, they'll get a job in Dubai or someplace such as that, Kuwait. And then instead of going back to Nepal, they will then shoot over to Brazil, take a bus to Colombia, go through Darien Gap, and then keep moving north. And then they end up, you know, in a store near you. So, I mean, that's how they – so those are – some do it in a very staged way, and they can take months or actually years in some cases. Some tell me they like Medeiros's family spent 2 years in Chile, right? And so others have told me they've spent even longer in places like Colombia. And Colombia is a very big problem for us right now, by the way. They could be going into war, and there's 2 to 3 million Venezuelans there now who are refugees from Venezuela. And if Colombia collapses, we could look at Colombians and Venezuelans shooting up through the Darien Gap. This is very serious.
Right. And so, they're not coming from the Northern Triangle. They're coming through the Northern Triangle to reach Mexico. The Nepalese man, he sounds like a cheerful person. Did he know how he was going to get into America? Did he have plans to cross? Does he know anybody already?
I can guarantee you he already, because I spent a lot of time with Nepalese. Like I said, I spent a year up there, and I like Nepalese, and I have Nepalese friends, in Nepal and other places. So, I mean, I that's why I can immediately go up to Nepalese and immediately establish, dialogue within like 30 seconds. And so he's quite cheerful, but Nepalese of his sort, they're just cheerful people. You know what I mean? This is the kind of guy that'll leave his district of southern Nepal, which borders with northern India, and do a ballistic shot straight to California. But I can guarantee you he will have a network in California, because that's how they operate. They don't generally, unless they're a criminal running from the law, they're not like Americans. Americans will just, as an individual, shoot off and go on their own. But Nepalese will, and Filipinos and that sort of thing, these sorts of cultures will tend to they'll tend to have some kind of cultural unit that they go in, that they'll either meet up with or facilitate or travel with. Like all the Nepalese that I keep meeting are all in small groups. Same with Bangladeshis. I keep meeting Bangladeshis as well. They will tend to travel in groups.
So we're looking at a migration, an organized migration of a clan or a tribe. Michael, the last detail that I think is at this point is that the Panama authorities, the Centerfront, are they making money on the migrants?
I don't know if Centerfront is. I don't know that at all. If they are, I'm sure it's, illegal by Panamanian law. And I mean, this is not, it is Latin America, and, United States in and of itself is also quite corrupt. But now, here comes an army truck right now. And that's 233. That's one of the trucks that always comes, but it's empty. There's no migrants in it. So it's going down, so they're probably going to pick somebody up. So you can hear it's a deuce and a half type truck. But clearly, like Majo Chiquito, the village where the migrants emerge, that's clearly making a lot of money, and they say that they are. Every step of the way, of course, I mean, it's just because insofar as they're concerned, the migrants are basically tourists, right?
Right.
They're coming in spending money.
Right.
And so, and also they're bringing, like in Bajo Chiquito, you got Doctors Without Borders there. You've got all kinds of people there helping with water. Last time I was there, there was an engineer with Doctors Without Borders helping with the water. So, Bajo Chiquito is making out on this.
Michael Yan, war correspondent. You see Michael's work at patreon.com. He's in Darien Province, at the end of the Panama Highway. Well, he was there today, Yavita, where it turns into sidewalks and a narrow bridge across a river. He will remain a few more days to get the feel of the scale of the migration. This is about a route that has been well established, but is now seeing increasing numbers. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.